Hello, everyone. You're listening to the Man of Scoreboard on KUI Moscow 89.3 FM. My name is Mark Warren, and I am not here with James Roman Aldrich. I'm here with Connor Anderson, a depth chart guy for the scoreboard. He's been on the program before. So, Connor, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing quite swell. For those of you who don't know who you are, can you talk a little about who you are, what you've done, why you're here?
Yep. Currently, I am the music director here at KUI 89.3 FM. I also work at the Argonaut here for design editor position. Used to be the multimedia editor and also a sports photographer, so was pretty involved with Vandal Athletics and all of that, and just a huge Vandal sports fan myself.
Yeah, we're going to have a good show for you guys today. We're going to talk a little bit about women's golf, talk about volleyball, talk about soccer, then of course the big win over Sac State and the upcoming game against EWU. To start, we're going to talk about women's golf. Connor, you know a lot about golf. The Vandals finished sixth at the 54 for Title IX tournament. They finished with a score of 881. Can you talk a little bit about that tournament?
Yes. So for most of you who know, a round of golf is either 9 or 18 holes, but this tournament was actually a round of 36, which is fairly interesting to do. So par for that would roughly be 144, which is a really solid score. You can range from -4 to +4 on that. With a score total of 881 and six people on the team, it averaged out to a little bit over par for them, but that's still a really good score. You will very rarely get under par for some of these tougher courses. I mean, you'll have pros still be getting over par. You'll have Tiger Woods be getting over par on some courses. So getting sixth with 881, pretty solid.
Yeah, they got tied for sixth in this tournament, and they will be back playing again October 9th and 10th at the Eastern Washington Eagle Invitational in Spokane. Moving on to volleyball, the volleyball team lost again 3-0 to NAU. The sets were 25-12, 25-21, 25-21. And it's just kind of what we've come to expect from this Vandal volleyball team.
Except for one thing. That's a lot closer than what it was last year.
Yeah, no, they're similar to last year's team in the fact that they get really close to hitting that 25, and then they can just never get over the hump. This team is drawing a lot of parallels to last year's team, a lot of new players, and just an inability to finish out sets. This year they are 5-42 in sets among all their games. At this point of the season last year, they were 12-34. They did go last year 9-1 in the Wyoming Invite, but this team really hasn't shown anything like that, and it seems as if they can't even beat teams that they should at least be competitive with. We are recording this episode a day earlier than normal, so we don't have the scores or stats from the Weber State game, but they do play ISU Saturday at noon, I believe in Pocatello. ISU is currently sitting at 2-11, and if Idaho's going to get a win in the Big Sky Conference, it seems like this is going to be the game to do it. But I have thought that about other games that they've played, and I just have not been right. It is unfortunate, but this team just can't really get over that hump. They just can't close out a set. Moving on to soccer, in a much lighter term, they had a massive 4-0 win over Idaho State. Jaden Hanks came away with a brace, two scores. Jade Sprague and Hannah Alfaro both also got score. Both also put the ball in the net. Both teams shot a similar amount of times. The University of Idaho shot 23 times, ISU shot 21 times, and they both had 10 shots on goals. Kiravita had 10 saves in another shutout performance. Has to go down as one of the best, absolutely one of the best goalkeepers in Idaho, but one of the best soccer players to come through this program. She's already broken the shutout record. It is her second year here. And a game like this is exactly what Idaho needs to do if they're going to win the Big Sky Championship. Similar to last year, they have a lot of they score 1 point in a lot of games, and that just isn't good enough.
Yeah, I was on the sidelines for a lot of the games last year. It was very much either 1-1, 0-0, 1-0, just very low scoring. There were a few where we got two, but seeing a 4-0 game, mm-hmm. absolutely insane, and I will agree, Kiravita, amazing goalkeeper. Watching her saves is just amazing to watch.
Yeah, I mean, 10 saves in one game. That is big.
That's insane. I remember last year she had just insane amount of saves as well.
Yeah, no, she's a really great player, and she's able to stay on the field for all 90 minutes. Idaho has some big games coming up. Obviously, the game that James and I have talked about a lot is this Montana game, Sunday, 1 o'clock, in the Kibbe Dome. At the time of recording, Montana has not played an in-conference game. They're playing their first in-conference game the day that we're recording this. They're playing EWU, and EWU is not a great team. They're sitting at 2-9 right now. I would expect Montana to win that game, and so I would expect them to be going into this game 7-2-2. This is a game that Idaho needs to win, I think, if they want to have any chance in the Big Sky. It's been something that James and I have talked about since August, this game, and this is something that they should have had circled on their calendar. Idaho's not going to be able to win this one if they don't score more than one goal.
I agree. They need to score multiple goals throughout each half. It can't just be one half they score two, maybe three goals. It needs to be a constant threat against Montana.
Yeah, no, this offense really has to push the pace and threaten Montana. And you hope that they've shown that in a few games this season, and you hope that they can really dial that up and beat the Grizz, because the Grizz are one of the best teams in the Big Sky right now.
For sure.
They're also playing Portland State Friday the 6th at 6 o'clock. Portland State sitting at 4-5-1, but they are 3-1-1 in their last five games. They're playing Sac State on Sunday, and Sac State is 3-5-3. This is a winnable game for Portland State. Portland State has had a slow start, but they're definitely picking up steam now. A team that the University of Idaho beat was the University of Seattle. A few days after we beat them, 3-1, Portland State lost them 5-0. So that is hopeful for the Vandals that this should be a game that the Vandals win. Even as good as Portland State's looking, if the Vandals and it seems like, as James and I have said, it'd be disappointing if they didn't get a ring. I feel like that's the feeling in that organization, that they need to get a ring this year. And if they can't beat Portland State, I don't see that. Idaho really needs to win out. In Big Sky play.
I agree. They were close to getting a ring last year, though.
Yeah, obviously that NAU game, such a tough loss, 0-0, going into penalty kicks, and, just not able to finish that game out. You hope that this team is able to make it back to the championship and score before PKs. That is, a major thing.
That is definitely huge for them.
Moving on to football, heck of a week. I got to go to the Kibbe Dome. I was there. Connor, you were not there.
Nope. Sadly, I was down in Boise, actually.
It was unfortunate. It was a really fun game. I walked into the Kibbe Dome and I could just feel the energy. There was something special there. The last time I got to go to a game as a fan was our freshman year 2 years ago. We played Portland State, our homecoming game. Paul Petrino was the head coach, and that energy wasn't there.
It wasn't there. Grant, we still beat them, but I went to Graham for work. I went to the Portland State game last year. Energy was absolutely different, and wasn't even homecoming. No, that was insane to watch.
Different energy in the stadium. 9,433 people were there in the Kibbe Dome. Honestly, a little less than I thought. I thought we were going to crack 10,000, but not a bad number by any means. More than we got in all but two of the home games last year. The atmosphere was electric. You could really feel that energy sitting in the student section.
I definitely think this was the home game that not as many people were looking forward to. I mean, we got our homecoming game coming up soon. People are going to be there. We're going to break 10,000, I have a feeling. Montana State, we're probably going to break 10,000. And then Battle of the Domes.
Battle of the Domes first
time. I'm bringing my parents here. They graduated from ISU. We're going to demolish them, hopefully. Yeah. I want them to see that in person.
That is really sinister, Connor, to make your parents come.
I had to watch the U of I ISU game my freshman year with Paul Petrino. My dad and I compared it to a horrible high school football game. Not a horrible college game. No, horrible high school game.
Yeah, that was not a pretty game. This is a game that I feel like, leading up into the season, even though Sac State beat us last year, was a game that was marked in the win column for Idaho pretty heavily, you know, and that was until Sac State beat Stanford, you know, beat a Pac-12 team that, the week before we played them. You know, Caden Bennett, their quarterback, threw for 250 or something, ran for 100 in that game. You know, I started getting worried. James was worried.
I started getting worried as well. I saw that win, and I definitely had a rethink of, oh, we may actually lose to Sac State.
Mm-hmm. But this was a really good game for the Vandals. You know, obviously it was probably should have been 30-27 due to a, you know, late game scoop and score on the at the end of kickoff. We got that extra touchdown, but really this was a 30-27 win. You know, so it was pretty close, but the feeling that I had throughout this game was that it was Idaho had control. You know, they never were losing in this game. Sac State never took the lead. There was a lot of times where it was tied, or Idaho had the lead by one or two possessions, but Sac State never really felt like they had the momentum on their side outside of a 10 or so minute stretch in the fourth quarter.
That's, you know, one thing I will say the Vandals are good at is keeping control of that whole possession and everything.
Yeah, no, they won the you know, time of possession battle by you know, pretty heavily. You know, the offense looked really good. Obviously, putting up 30 points is a, you know, major. It's great for the offense. The offensive line struggles did continue. You know, not as heavily as we saw in the Cal Poly or the, not the Cal Poly game, but the Cal game. They gave up 3 sacks, 5 tackles for losses, but it didn't. It truly didn't affect this offense too much. Giovanni McCoy threw 15 for 21 for 234 yards and 2 touchdowns. He ran for another 52 yards on 11 attempts. And the big thing in this game was that he didn't throw almost 50, you know, passes. That was something coming out of the Cal game I was really worried about, because you can't have a quarterback throwing that much that often. That is not a recipe for success.
No, it is not.
And it is a recipe to, you know, get players hurt. So it is good to see that he only threw 21 times. Obviously, rushed for another 11. But, you know, it was a really good game for McCoy. You know, he really looked like he had control whenever he was on the field. Anthony Woods had another great game, another 100-plus yard game. 24 attempts, 118 yards, and a touchdown. Really solid game for him. You know, a bit of a slow start this season with this offensive line, but he's picked up a lot of steam, and you know, played great on Saturday. Nick Romano, 7 attempts for 32 yards. Solid. He's been playing solid this year, had some good catches. Hayden Haddon, obviously, the star receiver on this team, 7 receptions for 72 yards. He did fumble the ball one time, giving Sac State an opportunity to score, which they did. Jermaine Jackson, 3 receptions for 38 yards. Had some really good special teams play, returning punts. Almost broke a few for a touchdown. Never was able to really get through that last line of defense on the special teams, but really was able to give the offense some good field position. Trez Traynor had 1 reception for 6 yards and a touchdown. Really good play there. Teron Ivy Jr., also really solid game. You know, another big touchdown reception. 52 yards. He had another reception for 0 yards. Sac State did have three forced fumbles. They were able to pick up 2 of them. One of the fumbles was the Hayden Haddon one, and then McCoy fumbled the ball that gave away. The defense also played pretty well. 2 sacks. Dallas Afalava had a sack, and Keyshawn James Newby had a sack. Those were also the only tackles for losses on this defense. The secondary had an okay game, 9 pass breakups, but they did let up 236 yards. The deep ball, you know, they were able to defend the deep ball pretty well again, like they have. But you know, that's secondary is a point of contention for this team. But the run defense was really well. They let up 69 rushing yards on 29 attempts, 2.4 yards per rush. You know, and special teams, obviously, as Chavez always does, played really well, 3 for 3 on field goals, 3 for 3 on extra points, and was named the Big Sky Special Teams Player of the Week. You know, but something that we did see in this game is something that we have seen from the Vandals all season, which is penalties, 5 penalties for 49 yards. You cannot beat yourself.
Yeah, that I remember that as one big thing Kochak has said this entire season. We cannot beat ourselves. Mm-hmm. We are able to beat these teams, but if we beat ourselves as well, we will lose them.
Yeah, no, and the schedule for the Vandals is a lot tougher this year than it was last year. You know, obviously this game was not easy. The EW game, which we're going to talk about soon, is I think it's going to be a sneakily tough game for the Vandals. Montana's not going to be easy. Montana State's not going to be easy. Then we have to go play down in Ogden. We're playing Weber State, and that's not going to be easy.
We got probably the toughest schedule this year out of all Big Sky, I think.
Yeah, no, we have a tough schedule, and that's part of playing in the Big Sky. The Big Sky is the best conference in FCS football, you know, but we're playing the top teams from the Big Sky.
I think the only one we aren't playing is UC Davis.
Yeah, no, UC Davis, not on the schedule this year. A team that beat us last year. This is a Vandal team that really will need to step up their game in the second half of this season. You know, we play EWU, then we play Cal Poly, and then we come back home for homecoming. A team that we should beat in Montana. We beat them last year, and seemingly they have gotten worse. We've gotten better. But I'm not going to get too ahead of myself. We play EWU this week. At the time of this coming out, the game is happening in 2 hours. So if you're up in Cheney, have fun at the game. James will be there, I believe.
Yep.
And the rest of the Vandal Nation over from the Argonaut. So look out for coverage on their social medias. EWU is ranked 19th. They are 2-2 right now. And the big thing that I want to note is that it is hard to play in Cheney. Red field, and it's going to be a sold-out, almost a sold-out crowd. That red field is scary.
That red field is insanely scary. Any field that, I gotta say, is the team's color, insanely difficult to play on if you've never played them before.
Yeah.
That will be very scary playing red.
Yeah, EWU is a team that we beat last year, but they've been looking good as of late. They beat Southeastern Louisiana 40-29. Obviously, Southeastern Louisiana is the team that beat us in the playoffs last year. A game that the Vandals probably should have won, and if it was on a different field, we probably would have won. But we didn't. We lost to them, and that is what matters. But they're not looking as good, and they're not looking like the team that beat us last year. And then they also beat UC Davis 27-24 last week. Once again, this UC Davis team isn't looking like the UC Davis team that beat us. You know, they are. This UC Davis team is squeaking by with some teams that are not on the same level as the Vandals. So, while I do think this game is going to be sneaky tough for the Vandals, I think it's a very winnable game for the Vandals. It's a game that's been on my radar since the schedule released. Seeing that we have to go up and play in Cheney. Has kind of I've had this gut feeling that it's not going to be good for the Vandals. You know, the Vandals really have to play their best football here. You know, they have looked like a really good team, but you cannot let your guard down with a team like this. You know, and then after this, we'll go play Cal Poly. Cal Poly, a team that, you know, was not great last year. A team that we should beat, so you know, in theory, we should be going in that Montana game, you know, with 3 straight wins, which is huge. I was able to talk to James before this, and I got his official score prediction for this game. He thinks that the Vandals are going to win 37-24. I think that the Vandals are going to win 34-20. I don't know if you have a score prediction, but I will let you. What do you think is going to happen in this game, Connor?
I think Vandals are going to win, but it's going to be a one possession win. Mm-hmm. It's going to be extremely tight. Honestly, it might even be a field goal win.
Yeah, and luckily for the Vandals, they have a guy that can give them a field goal win.
Oh, you easily.
Know? With Chavez, gave us a field goal win last week. I didn't mention the ending of the Sac State game. With 5 seconds left, Ricardo Chavez kicked a field goal that put the Vandals in the lead. And then, you know, I'm sure everyone has seen it, but on a squib kick on the kickoff, Cal State tried to, you know, pitch it around a little bit, get something going, and a scoop and score from Omani Arnold, gave that Vandals the extra 6 points.
Yeah, I remember being down in Boise, getting a text from one of my friends who was at the game, showing the scoreboard. 1 second left, it was 30-27. I'm like, okay, yeah, we won. I check the standings and the score about a minute later and noticed, wait, that says 36-27. How did we randomly gain 6 points in a second? And mm-hmm. then you explain it to me, and
yeah,
insane.
No, I mean, going back to that game, the energy in the crowd when Chavez put the ball through the field goal, through the uprights, unexplainable. After that game, my hands were sore from clapping so much. My voice was going out from yelling so much. I was probably yelling a little too much. My friends were probably annoyed with me, but that is okay. That is the energy
that's Vandal football.
The dome needs.
For sure. Can't wait for homecoming.
That's
atmosphere is going to be absolutely insane.
Yeah. But that is it for this episode of the Vandal Scoreboard. I hope you enjoyed. We will be back next week, probably with James. My name has been Mark Warren. You can follow me on X at MarkWarren1832. Connor, I don't know if you have anything you want to plug.
Not really, no.
No. He has been Connor Anderson. He has been the music director for KUOI. Thanks so much for listening. You will listen to us next week. Goodbye, everyone.